Yes, welcome once again to the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. I'm glad that you're able to join again today on this day that God has given to us, and I trust that you will find Him faithful as you look to Him for all your needs. And my name is Jody, and I want to continue a look here at some of the commands that we would find in the New Testament. And I think that as we kind of build to that, we may talk about that tomorrow and the next day, if the Lord's willing. But today I have a few things to kind of get us prepared for that. And I'd like to just share a few things here that I'm wanting to point out in the Scriptures as we have been talking about how that as Christians, we have some examples and some guidelines in Scripture and some things that we need to take a look at to see where our life falls in place to these things that we read in the Scriptures. If you remember yesterday, we were talking about how Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, that is a quote from John 8:32. And you remember that as Jesus was speaking these words, he had in his company some Jews there. And it says that they were Jews that actually were believing on him. They were seeing that there was something about him that was right. Now Jesus was speaking to them, and he talked to them about the truth that shall make them free. And one of the things we are looking for in this little study here is we're looking at truth and freedom in the commands of God, the commandments that He gives us. And in those commandments, we are actually looking for truth and freedom. They go together, the truth and the freedom that God gives us in His commandments. Now, it almost sounds like that it's backwards or doesn't really fit together, but it actually does. We want to look at God's commandments, His instruction to us, and find a freedom that only He can give. And I'd like to establish some groundwork on the truth. And I think you'll see here today that we are dealing with absolute pure truth, which the world doesn't know anything about. I would like to read to you a scripture from John chapter 18. And I'll be reading verses 36 through 38, and I just want to kind of let you in on where we're going to break in here in Scripture. And this is where Jesus is on trial. He's before Pilate, the Roman governor, and the Jewish leaders have brought him to Pilate, and they're demanding that he be crucified. And so Pilate is examining Jesus, and he's checking him out to see if he's done a crime worthy of death. And of course, you know the story, but let's just read here at verse 36. And Jesus answered to Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Now here's a question. Listen to what Pilate is saying here. He's struggling with something here. He says, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault in him at all." Now you see something very interesting happening here way back in the days of Christ when he was walking on this earth. Pilate asked the same question that I think is being asked in our generation today. What is truth? Here's this Roman governor who is examining Christ, the Son of God. the King of Kings. He has him right before him in judgment. And he says, are you a king? He didn't look like a king. He didn't act like a king. And Pilate said, are you a king then? And Jesus tells him, yes, I am a king. And my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not a kingdom that will perish. It's an eternal kingdom. That's what Jesus was telling Pilate. And Pilate was perplexed, I guess you could say, not knowing what to do. But Jesus said that he's a king, and his kingdom's not of this world. And then Jesus said, for this cause did I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. He's bearing witness unto the truth. And then he says, and everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Interesting. So Pilate's confused about this, is what is truth? And today, I think we find in our society, in our culture, people are saying, what is truth? People don't have any idea what truth is. You've heard the sayings and the things that people are coming out with today in their own humanistic way of thinking. They're saying there's no absolutes. No absolutes. There's no restraint. If there's no absolutes, then there's no restraint. You can't do anything wrong with absolute if there's no absolutes. What they find, I believe, what they find is that there is no peace and there is no freedom in what they believe. There's no absolutes. And there's no restraint. And they're in turmoil and bondage. You hear of stories of people, they're bombing, the bombings are going off, people are killing people, people are going to schools and to different public places and shooting and killing people. Why? Because they're in bondage. They're going crazy because they have swallowed the lie. There's no absolutes. There's no restraint. I can do what I want to. Nobody can tell me it's wrong. See, this is absurd. This is craziness. But that's where our world is today, and that's where Pilate was at in his day, the day of Christ. He said, what is truth? What is truth? Well, we know what truth is because we have the Word of God. Jesus Christ is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You remember that the Jews that Jesus was speaking to about the truth, Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. And they said to him, we are the children of Abraham, and we've never been in bondage to any man. You see, they couldn't even see it, or maybe they did. I don't know. The question we could ask is, did the Jews know that they were in bondage? Or were they in complete ignorance? And I think the answer to that is probably, and I don't know for sure, but I think it's probably some of each. I think some knew they were in bondage. I think others might not have recognized it. I'm not sure. We're not really told here. But some people have a very tender conscience, and others have a very calloused conscience, and I believe it's very possible that some knew they truly were in bondage. Others couldn't see it. They didn't know. We need to look at their situation compared to ours. Could we possibly be in bondage also? Is there a possibility even that we would be in bondage? I believe the possibility very much exists. We need to let God examine our hearts and let him purge us and cleanse us by the Word of God. So I'd like to look at just a couple of scriptures here as we're talking about this, because I'm using a comparison analogy here. And the Bible does speak to that, and we have to be careful, okay? And I want to just be careful I don't mislead you here. 2 Corinthians 10:12, it says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they are measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. Now, what I'm trying to say here is that the scriptures tell us that if we compare ourselves to ourselves, then we have a low standard, and we'll be able to make some comparison and come out good, us individually. We can look at somebody else and say, well, at least I don't do this. And we've seen that in Scripture. Oh, at least I'm not as bad as that guy or this fellow over here. And we can make comparisons with ourselves. And that's a pretty low standard. But if we compare ourselves to Christ and to the truth of God's Word, well, now we come into a different category. We find that we come up way short, way short. We need a Savior. Okay? So we're told here that we're not wise to compare ourselves with ourselves. When we're trying to commend ourselves, well, we're not being wise at all. The Scriptures tell us that's not good to do. Okay? But let me just go to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 10. And I'd like to read six verses here. 1 Corinthians 10, and I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers are under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That spiritual rock there is a representation of Christ. Just it's amazing how God just he puts his plan all together. It was from the beginning. Here was Christ following the Hebrews through the wilderness. He was that rock to them. Okay, verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, they're examples for us. So we're not comparing ourselves to them to see if we're better or worse or however we fall in that. We're looking at their example. What happened to them? What was their situation compared to ours? Their situation was that they lusted after many things, and it lists some of those things, but I'm going to skip down just now a little bit for time's sake. You can go back and read it. It's the same chapter. I'm going to just go down to verse 11 and 12. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So, we have these examples given to us. They are given to us for examples, and they're written for our admonition so that we can look at that and say, you know, there's some error that they were walking in. We don't want to walk in that error. I'm not trying to compare them with us or us with them, but looking at what happened to them and say, hey, you know, we're admonished in Scriptures not to lust after things that they lusted for. And you go back and read that and see what they did. They were tempting Christ, as it says in there, and God was angry with them, and they were grumbling and complaining, and God destroyed them, many of them. Okay, so that's an example for us we need to be cautious about. And then it says in verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You see, these things that man deals with, from the time of Adam all the way to present, they're common. They are common things that man struggles with. Now, I believe that there's a temptation for us and for every man that has walked this earth to be in bondage. That sounds kind of funny again. Why is that? There's a temptation to be in bondage. And I'm not sure exactly why. I don't really know. But I know this. The answer is Christ Jesus. He will set us free. Now, some of us, we can recognize bondage. Others, we may not be able to see it. We have to let God examine. And I just want to encourage you, get into the Word of God and look at His admonition for us, His commandments, and ask yourself the question, is this putting me in bondage or am I gaining freedom in Christ through this? I'm not saying I have come to that perfectly. I'm working on it. God's working on me. But let's go to the Word of God and let Him give us freedom As Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Lord willing, we'll talk about some of the commandments tomorrow. And in the meantime, let's be thinking about these things that God has given us in his word and be able to say, yes, Lord, I want to be free. God bless you today.